Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Let's go to prison. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm your host, Rebecca, and today is August the 7th. I'm happy to have Peter join me on this program where we will take you to prison, literally. And Peter, welcome to the program.
Hello, Rebecca. Hello, everyone. Nice to be here in prison.
Yes. But we'll be talking about the hopeful part of the prison experience. And before we go on, Peter, I'd like to ask you, have you been to prison?
I have not, by God's grace. I have not known anyone who has gone to prison. I have never been inside a prison, even, for good reasons. It is something I've only experienced in TV and movies.
Okay. Well, I have been to prison. But before everyone starts commenting, how can Studio Classroom hire ex-prisoners? Now, there's nothing wrong with hiring ex-prisoners, but I have been to prison to teach English. And I did that when I was in university. I had friends who ran a program for drug rehab. They helped a group of men get rehabilitated after drug addiction. And so they regularly went to prison, where the prison was mostly full of people who were in prison because of drug-related offenses. So I would go with them to teach English in a prison. And I have to say, once you go to a prison, you see it's so wonderful to be able to walk around, to get sunshine, to just be free to do your own thing, like to not be on a schedule set by somebody else and be confined to a small place. It's such freedom is such an incredible gift, and you don't really realize it until you don't have it. But before we go on, Peter, I'd like to talk about the value of hands-on work. Like, you know, the past years, DIY just stands for do-it-yourself, has become more popular, especially for like home renovation. Like you might go to IKEA to buy furniture. You have to put it together yourself. So DIY, do-it-yourself, is more and more common now. But I'd like to ask you, you know, while you were growing up or as an adult, have you experienced the value of hands-on work, like using your hands to build something?
I certainly have, yes. During my years as a theater actor back in New York City, I worked at a level of theater in which there was usually not a separate crew to build the set for the play. The actors would do it themselves.
This was
a small scale. I mean, we're not talking about lavish Broadway sets or anything. These were small theaters, and the sets were more suggestive than realistic. But the cast, and most of the companies I worked with, the cast was also the crew, the construction crew at least. And we would, who knows how to use a drill? Okay, Hamlet, you can, you know, use the drill here. And who knows how to use an electric saw? Okay, Ophelia, these are characters in Shakespeare's Hamlet play, you can be in charge of cutting wood and such like that, and that's how the set would get built. And so we would, I had some experience with using power saws, power tools, hammering things together, sawdust, all that stuff.
Oh, wow. So you guys built your own sets?
For the most part, yeah.
That's really incredible. Yeah. That's really, really incredible. Almost unheard of here in Asia, having the actors build their own sets.
Well, I imagine it might depend on the tier, the level of theater that you're talking about. Because for a lot of theater, there just isn't the money to have a separate crew build the sets in addition to the actors.
And the sets are extremely expensive, right? Very costly, the sets. Yeah, that's really incredible. I'm not that talented. I've never built a set. But when I was a teenager, when I was maybe 12 or 13, my dad was a builder, not by profession, but he was very good at building things. We had a large yard when I was growing up, and then he would build a fence, Like he built a fence around our rented house. He built a beautiful wooden fence, and then he would build brick walls, mm-hmm. brick walls to divide our house with the next house. He built a beautiful brick wall. And so he taught me how to mix cement and then how to lay a brick. He was so tough. Like, there's a special gadget. I forgot the name of the tool. Like, is it called a level? Where you basically put the tool on the wall to see if the bricks are completely straight.
And it's got a little fluid in it?
Yeah,
what do you call that? Yeah, that's a level.
That's a level. Yeah, it's a level. L-E-V-E-L.
L-E-V-E-L.
Level, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so he taught me how to build. But the problem with everything I learned, many things I learned in our family, is I just learned part of it. Mm-hmm. So I know how to mix cement. I know how to put the brick on the wall. But I can't do the whole thing from start to finish by myself. But it's wonderful to be able to build.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's really wonderful.
Yeah, no, and I think it's particularly good for people who do a lot of work with their minds.
Yes.
To also have some experience working with their hands.
Yes.
If only to understand how life is for a lot of other people who maybe don't use their minds so much for whatever reason. And also, yeah, just to give you that richer experience of the human condition.
Yes. And I think there is a level of satisfaction that comes from building something and see it finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be similar to many people have the habit of growing plants, gardening. You know, when you see that cactus bloom or you see that flower, the orchids come out. It's a great feeling of satisfaction to see that something you invested your time in physically has made changes.
Sure.
There's changes coming.
Sure.
So I think that's amazing. We'll be talking more about building today and tomorrow, but we will be talking in particular about prisoners in one prison in the U.S., in Georgia, the state of Georgia in the South in the U.S., one prison, the inmates, they are building something. So let's get into our first reading for today.
Building skills behind bars. Program enables female prisoners to construct a future after jail. The worksite stirred to life. Hammers pounded, saws buzzed, and banter flowed like an open tap. In less than an hour, the workers raised two framed-up walls that lined up perfectly. They took a minute to admire their accomplishment, then scattered to gather tools and sweep away debris. With the cleanup work finished, the command came. Hands behind your back. No talking. This wasn't your typical construction site, and these weren't your typical construction workers. They were female inmates at the Athens-Clarke County Jail, Georgia. Learning construction skills in a program launched last year called Future Foundations. Hatched by a state representative and nurtured by the sheriff, jail staff, and a volunteer, the program aims to create pathways to gainful employment for inmates in their post-jail lives. That, in turn, could reduce recidivism down the road.
So we start our article by, well, the name is Building Skills Behind Bars. Peter, first, behind bars. What bars are we talking about? We're talking about bar hopping, like what college kids do. You know, like, you know, in college, we were college kids once, right?
Once.
It's been a while, but bar hopping, you go from one bar to the other, you know, with your friends.
Right,
now,
exactly.
Now, this is not endorsement by Studio Classroom by any means, but that's what college kids do. So what is bars here?
Right. In this case, bars would be the bars of a prison cell. And to be behind bars, if someone is, oh yeah, I have a cousin on my mother's side, he's currently behind bars, is a way of saying he's in prison.
Yeah. So behind bars is like this catchy phrase we say when talking about people in prison. So we have this program we'll be talking about that helps female prisoners construct a future after jail. And, you know, there's double meaning here, right?
Yes, definitely.
So what are we constructing?
Right. Well, in this case, we're constructing a future after jail, meaning a way to make a living after these prisoners complete their jail sentence. They won't simply be released from jail with nothing to do and no idea of how to go forward with their lives. They will have some skills here is the idea. And yeah, the use of the word construct, to construct a future, basically all we're saying here is that the program enables female prisoners to have or to look forward to a future after jail. But we express that idea by using the word construct to play off the fact that they are learning construction skills, skills that would be useful on a construction site.
Yes. So we often use the word construction. So when you think of a construction site, it's just like a building site, like for buildings or apartments, you know, or these big things we construct. So it's another more precise word than build, right? Mm-hmm. But here we have construction. So let's talk about the construction site. So what does it look like?
Right. Well, hammers are pounding. We have some nice visuals here and oral descriptions. Hammers pounded, saws buzzed, that great word buzz, onomatopoeia, meaning it sounds like what it describes, buzz, a saw, an electric saw, and banter flowed like an open tap. Banter, lovely word there, just means friendly, joking conversation, and that there was a lot of it. It flowed like an open tap. You think of, you turn on the tap in your faucet in the sink, you turn it on, you know, full open, then the water gushes out, and there's a lot of it, not just a thin little stream. And so in this case, the banter flowed like, you might say, like water from an open tap. It flowed freely and easily.
Yes, and in less than an hour, the workers raised up two framed up walls that lined up perfectly. So what have they been building? They've been building two walls that line up perfectly. And then the workers, they take a minute to admire this accomplishment, then scattered to gather tools. So tools, these are your saws, your hammers, the levels we talked
about
earlier.
Probably some levels,
Probably some levels. They gathered all the tools that they used and sweep away debris. What is debris?
Just means waste material, leftover things, things that you would, you know, shavings, bits of pieces of stuff on the ground, debris.
And so this looks like a normal construction site, except for the next line.
Yes.
What do we get there?
Well, the next line, after they have completed this and gathered the tools and swept away the debris, you hear this voice saying, hands behind your back, no talking.
Yes. That's not normal, right?
That's not normal at a construction site.
At a normal construction site? I don't think the supervisor dares talk to his workers like that, because if he did, there'll be no workers tomorrow.
There would be no workers the next day.
Yes, but this is not your typical construction site. So when we talk about construction site, that's just the site, that's just the place where you're building things.
Yeah.
So the construction site, these aren't your typical construction workers. Who are these people?
These people, as the next paragraph says, are female inmates at the Athens-Clarke County Jail. Inmate, just another word for prisoner, someone who's being kept in a prison. Female inmates at the Athens-Clarke County Jail in the state of Georgia in the U.S., and they are learning construction skills in a program called Future Foundations, another play on words there. The foundation, of course, is the foundation of a building or a house, the first part that you make, and then you build the floors, the stories on top of it. And so in this case, a foundation for the future of these inmates is what is being built.
Yes. So they're in the state of Georgia. There's both the state of Georgia and the country of Georgia. There's the country of Georgia in Central Asia. And there's the state of Georgia in the U.S. It's the state capital is Atlanta. It is the home of Coca-Cola. It's the home of CNN, among many other companies. So they're learning construction skills, just like Peter says. They're preparing them for the future. And let's talk about this project. So where did this project come from?
Right. Well, this project, Future Foundations, was hatched by a state representative, which is to say not a national representative, someone who is in the Senate or Congress in Washington, D.C., but in the U.S., each state has their own little government of elected representatives, and one of them, in this case, hatched this program, this Future Foundations thing. Hatch, like a hen lays an egg, and eventually the egg hatches, and out comes a new little baby hen. In this case, it just means to devise or to create something. The program was hatched by this state representative, and then continuing the theme here, nurtured by the sheriff, by jail staff, and a volunteer, who we'll meet later, and the program aims to create pathways to gainful employment for inmates in their post-jail lives, their lives after jail, post-jail. And gainful employment, just a very long way of saying paid work.
Okay, let's talk about one more word, sheriff. It's not a word we see often these days, right? We see sheriff back in, you know, cowboy movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is a sheriff? Is that like a police chief?
It's like a police chief, but the difference is a sheriff is elected. He runs for that office.
Oh, he runs.
He's elected by the people of, and this is the other difference, he's elected by the people of a county.
Oh.
A county, at least in the United States, is a collection of towns, not just a singular town or even a singular city.
Okay.
It's an area of a state that is designated as a county, and the sheriff is like the police chief of that county.
But he has to get elected.
But he has to get elected to the position.
Oh.
A police chief of a city or of a town is appointed by usually the mayor or some other authority of that particular town. And the police chief only has jurisdiction over crimes in that town or city. But the sheriff has legal authority over the entire county to which he's been elected the sheriff.
That is so interesting. That is definitely a cultural difference and kind of like a systematic difference than here in Asia.
Yeah.
And, well, let's talk about this project. So this project, in turn, could reduce recidivism down the road. Now, this is a very specific word. We really only use it in certain situations.
Right.
So what does this recidivism word mean?
Right. Basically, it means to continue to commit crimes even after you've been punished. There's another English word, to backslide, to go back to something bad that it seemed you had recovered from, or it seemed that you had put aside or gotten rid of. Recidivism, the only other context I think you'll hear it in is in talking about addiction recovery.
Right.
When someone goes through treatment for addiction, but then sadly goes back to the addiction, whatever it may be, that is sometimes described as recidivism as well. But here it means prisoners who serve their jail time, but then go back to crime once they get out of jail.
Got it. Okay, good explanation. Well, let's continue on the article and we'll talk about some of the benefits that came from this project. Let's go into our second reading.
What officials didn't expect were the returns the program would start paying almost right away. Less tension among the inmates. Increased interest from them in developing other workplace skills. More responsible behavior from program participants, and reports of growing self-esteem. The program's impact hasn't been limited to just the women involved in the project. Morale also has been boosted among the women who are on a waiting list with hopes of taking part in the training. That has Athens-Clarke County Sheriff John Q. Williams thinking that other jails throughout the state might benefit by following the Athens Blueprint. Building people. Spencer Fry knows how to build things. The Democratic state representative is the longtime executive director for Athens Area Habitat for Humanity. For a long time, he's been fixated on lending a hand to folks with a criminal background and teaching them the skills to get jobs. At the same time, he's passionate about creating more affordable housing options. Then it occurred to him that his two goals might be accomplished with one program. What if he could take some of the men in the jail, non-violent offenders, and train them in carpentry so they could build structures for use outside the jail?
So we get into the second reading where we start off with officials didn't expect the returns the program started to give almost immediately. What are returns?
Right. Return is benefit.
Benefits.
The benefit that the program created, the returns, the program would start paying. There wasn't any literal money exchanging hands here. It's more in a figurative sense, like we said, of the benefits of the program.
Yeah, there are many benefits. Well, there's less tension among the inmates because, as we know, if you've ever lived in a roommate or in a dorm, living in close proximity of others is, I mean, you have different habits, different lifestyles. Like, it's very easy to have clashes.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
So less tension. There's increased interest from the inmates in developing other work skills, right? Workplace skills. And then the people who participate, they're more responsible. And I love this one. Reports of growing self-esteem. So self-esteem just means how you feel about yourself.
Right.
Right? Like your confidence, how you feel about yourself and your abilities. And then here it says that the program's benefits hasn't just been for the woman who took part in it. Mm-hmm. Who has it also benefited?
Right. It's also benefited women who are on a waiting list hoping to take part in the training. So just the idea that this exists is having a positive benefit on the people who are actually enrolled in it, who actually go through with it, but also for those who are waiting to, also for those who are hoping to. It's given them a boost in morale. Good word there, M-O-R-A-L-E. Morale has been boosted among the women who are on a waiting list. Morale simply means the sort of overall spirit of a group of people or of an organization. And it could be good, it could be bad, it could be low, it could be high. The morale. You always want to have good morale in an environment.
And because there's so many benefits from this program, the sheriff that is part of it, here we have Sheriff John Q. Williams, has been thinking that maybe other jails throughout the state of Georgia should also follow this blueprint. And Peter, when we say something is a blueprint for something else, what is a blueprint?
Right. A blueprint is that paper that architects use to draw the plan for the building that they want to make. They draw it on a special kind of blue paper, and so it's come to be called blueprint. It is the instructions. It is a two-dimensional diagram of a three-dimensional thing that will ultimately be the building or the house. The author doesn't quite mean blueprint here, because the Athens program is not just a plan for something. They've actually done it. They've actually created this program, and it's happening, and the prisoners are taking part in it. So I think the author means more here the Athens model or the Athens example, because a blueprint would imply that it hasn't actually come about yet. We just have drawn up plans for it. But you will sometimes see blueprint used in this way. But really what the author means is that other states might benefit by following the Athens precedent, by following the Athens model rather than just the blueprint.
Yeah, and why it's called Athens is because this jail is in Athens, Clark County, in Georgia. Like
right.
We see earlier, it's called Athens, Clark. So this is not in Athens, the capital of Greece.
We're not in Greece.
We're in the state of Georgia. But here we have, like Peter said, the Athens model or the Athens blueprint. Well, so we have the sheriff involved. We also have, we talked earlier about the person who hatched this plan, the mother hen. But here it's not the mother hen, it's the father rooster. So his name is Spencer Fry. Peter, can you tell us a little bit about Spencer Fry.
Well, Spencer Fry knows how to build things. He is the Democratic state representative that we read about in that earlier paragraph. And he is also in addition to his career in politics, he's also the longtime executive director for Athens area Habitat for Humanity. Habitat for Humanity is a nonprofit charitable organization that builds homes for people who could otherwise not afford them.
Yes, for low-income people, a lot of times for seniors, and a lot of times after natural disasters to rebuild, not just in the U.S., but in many other places as well. I think also in the Caribbean and other places. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very famous kind of supporter, and also someone who built with this Habitat for Humanity was former President Jimmy Carter.
Correct.
Jimmy Carter and his wife Rosalind, they were very, very active sponsors. Not just sponsors, they actually went and built houses with the Habitat for Humanity volunteers, raising the profile of this nonprofit to national recognition.
Yep.
So that's Habitat for Humanity. So let's talk more about Spencer Fry and what has been his thinking behind this project?
Right. Well, for a long time, it says, Fry was fixated on lending a hand to folks with a criminal background and teaching them the skills to get jobs. Fixated just means always thinking or always talking about one particular thing, kind of like obsessed, but not with such a dark undercurrent to it. He's been fixated. He's been extremely focused on helping people in prison learn skills so that they can get jobs when they get out of prison and don't fall victim to recidivism, like we said earlier. And he's also, Spencer Fry, is also passionate about creating affordable housing options. And so it occurred to him that these two goals might be accomplished with one program.
So he can hit two birds with one stone.
Great expression.
Our wonderful idiom, two birds of one stone, means you do one thing and it can accomplish two things.
Yep.
So you hit two birds with one stone. Use one stone, you kill two birds. But we're not killing anything here. We're building things here. So his idea, what if he could take some of the men in the jail, and here this important detail, nonviolent offenders, right? Because we don't want people like erupting into violence, right?
Well, so here, or having access to saws and hammers and other sharp or heavy objects.
Good point. So nonviolent offenders. So basically these people are in jail not because of violent acts.
Right.
Nonviolent offenders. And train them in carpentry. Carpentry is just basically woodworking, right? Working with wood to build things, carpentry.
Right.
So they can build structures for use outside the jail. Well, this is a really heartwarming article.
Yeah.
Like we do sometimes get articles where it really inspires us because it shows that second chances are possible. And no matter what mistakes we made in life, there are ways out. And this is here in this program in Athens, Georgia, we see how one county is trying to help its inmates.
Yeah.
So it's been wonderful to be part of this heartwarming story, heartwarming journey. But friends, come back tomorrow and we will talk more about how they got this project off the ground and some of the other things that we can learn from this project. So that's it for today. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.